Happy Sabbath, everyone. All right, and happy Youth Day as well. So, okay. I feel like I have a little bit extra pressure today because I know all the Sabbath school age kids got one of these sheets here, and they fill it out as I go through. So the pressure I feel is I've got to make sure that I answer these questions as I speak, or they're going to be like, what's he saying? What's going on here? So I've got their notes here next to mine so I can make sure that I answer the questions that they have to answer. And it's important because I think they have to turn this in afterwards to get like a snack. So this is important. This is an important piece of paper that I've got to make sure I fill in here. All right. You may have heard, I saw this last week, the last couple of weeks, this news story went viral. There was a tribe in Brazil, the Marubo tribe, and they live in the rainforest. And they, for centuries and centuries, and they were still living this way, you know, they were planting their food, fishing, hunting, basically just like it was hundreds of years ago. And they had a little bit of ability to go to towns and different things, so they weren't completely isolated. But back last September, I believe, a couple of their tribesmen figured out that they could get internet in their area through the satellite system. And so back in September, they had the internet for the first time ever in this tribe. And it was amazing because what this article was talking about is after a few months, all the bad decisions that were being made now in this tribe, now that they had access to the internet, there was obviously some good things that they were finding, but what they were finding, especially in the young people, they weren't working anymore. They were spending all their time, they were already addicted to the internet. They were addicted to YouTube, to different social media. They were video games, adult websites. I mean, all this stuff happened within like a couple of months in this tribe that had never had the internet before. And as soon as they got it, almost immediately bad decisions started happening. And so the leaders of the tribe have had now come in and they've put rules in. There's certain times of day, limited amount of hours. And they're really concerned about, like, if we don't go fish and hunt and do these things, we'll die. And so that was their focal point. So I thought this was very interesting in the fact that what happened to this tribe in Brazil within a few months. But this is the world that we live in. In fact, one of the tribes, the leaders of the tribe said that we were afraid that we were going to become like the white man in this. And so we live in this world every day. We get all this information thrown at us and encouraging us to basically make bad decisions and bad choices. And so we're bombarded with this. It can be the internet. It can be social media. It can be our friend groups, right? It can be the people we see at school, at work, in our neighborhood. All these different things are providing us information all the time that can affect our decisions. And so I think it's important because many times the decisions that we make in our life, the decisions that we make, are we going to choose right or are we going to choose wrong? Many times those depend on what we've been thinking about leading up to that decision. And so the thoughts and the things that we're putting into our mind are very, very important. And it's why it's important we know to study our Bibles and do these different things that we know we should do. But again, there is a lot of negative influence in the world around us. There's a lot of information that we receive that is the opposite of what the Bible says. And so we're constantly kind of playing this game of trying to make sure that we have the right information in our minds so that we make good decisions when all this bad information is all around us. So I think the question is that I want us to talk about today then is there's things that we know that we shouldn't be taking in, right? There's things that we know that we should avoid thinking about. There's information that we should avoid taking in. We know that. But what should we be thinking about? What information should we be, on a daily basis, should we be doing, trying to put into our minds and into our brains so that it'll help us make good decisions and good choices in our life? And so today that's what I want to do. I want to talk and look specifically at one scripture that gives us a nice list of things that God says we should be thinking about and taking in every day. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Today we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. So let's go ahead and read this. I'm in the New King James. So let's read this verbatim here as we start. Now, leading up to this, this is the last chapter of Philippians, and so Paul is giving the church there some kind of closing advice and, some positive things that they can do. He talks about in verse 4 how it's important to rejoice in God always, right? We should always be rejoicing in God. The opening hymn service that we did, we were rejoicing to God. So Paul talks about that. He talks about being gentle. Verse 6, he talks about being anxious about nothing, right? Reducing our anxiety and how we can do that through God and with God's help. So he's giving all this really good advice. And then in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren. So this is something that we should take note of. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So this is what Paul says, inspired by God. He says, God's people, his church, these are the things that we should be thinking about. So I remember several weeks ago, I was going through this book, the book of Philippians, and again, this verse jumped out at me. And so I was asking Avery and Joe, I was kind of throwing this idea of what I was going to talk about today by them. And Avery was like, kind of typical teenager. She's like, Dad, like, we've heard that verse so many times, right? We've heard that verse a lot. And here's the honest truth, right? If you were raised in the church, there are many verses in the Bible that we've heard all our life, that we've heard a lot. And so it's good that we recognize when we hear something, okay, well, that's a verse in the Bible. But even more important, and why I want to talk about this today is we have to know, number one, what does this verse actually mean? What do these words actually really mean? Because a lot of times in our language, right, we look at a word that was translated in English, and, the Bible wasn't written in English. And so we'll see a word in English, and we kind of think we know what it means in our context, in our culture, in our time, in our age group, whatever that is. But it's important that we actually understand, well, what does this word actually mean when Paul was writing it? In Greek, what does it mean? Because we're going to see as we go through that these words actually have a lot more deeper meaning than what we think of in English. And then more importantly than that, are we actually doing these things? Right? Because that's what it all comes down to. Whether we've been in the church one day or, 80 years, it comes down to, like, are we actually doing these things? Are we actually applying them into our life? So I want to look at this verse and hopefully bring it into more meaning and more maybe relevant terms as to how we live our lives now and how this can affect our lives and the things that we think about and what God is asking us to do as Christians. So let's go ahead and get started. So I want to begin with the end, because at the very end it says, Paul says, that we are to meditate on these things. Okay, so what is he asking? What does that mean, meditate? That's kind of a big word, right? We kind of have an idea of meditate. Maybe that means we go somewhere quietly, set, for 3 or 4 minutes and just think about something, right? What does that mean? It's very interesting because the King James Version, it uses the word think. So it says, okay, think on these things. And so that we kind of have a better understanding of that. But the actual meaning of this word is more than that. I really love what this word is. The word that he used means to take an inventory of. To take an inventory of or to number. So what Paul is saying here, and for us, is we, as we go through this verse, we should take an inventory of our lives and say, do I have these things in my life? It's not just something we think about, like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. No, is this who we are? Is what Paul is saying. He's saying Christians, these things should be who they are. It should be what they think about. What's in their minds. And so as we go through these verses today, this verse today, think about it in your own life. Do I display this in my life? And for all the teens and preteens, when we have our discussion after this, we're going to talk about, to give you guys a heads up, and you can think about this as we go through it, which one of these do you think are the most difficult to do in your life? Right? Because that's what it comes down to, is like, how do we apply all these things? So we'll talk about that in the discussion portion when afterwards. Okay, so again, meditate is more than just, you know, let me sit silent for a few minutes. Take inventory. Is this who I am? Okay, so let's see, who are we supposed to be? Okay, so meditate. I know the young kids had this. So meditate, again, it means to think and to take inventory of your life. All right, so let's begin. Again, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Whatever things are true. All right, that seems straightforward. Okay, yeah, true, right? Why would I want to have something in my life that's not true? And that word there, again, that is used here, it means what we think it means, right? It means truth, right? Focus on things that are truth. But if you think about how hard that is to do in our day and age. Because almost everything that we are exposed to in this world is the opposite of truth. Almost everything that we see every day, whether it's on the internet, social media, whatever it is, it's a lie from the perspective of what God says in this book. From a perspective of like, well, what's going to make you happy in life? A lot of the things that we see on, you know, in social media says, oh, well, if you have tons of money and the right clothes and you're traveling and, you know, whatever you're doing, well, no, that's a lie. Right? That isn't really going to make you happy. Talk to people who have all those things. Sometimes they're the most depressed people you'll come across. So everything that we see in our lives is really a lie. So what are we supposed to focus on? What's truth? This is very important. The only truth is this book. This is the only truth that exists. And so if things that we hear match this book, then we know, okay, it's truth. If things we hear doesn't match what's in here, we know it's a lie. That's why it's so important to know this book. Because if you don't know this book, you won't know what truth and a lie is. You'll just kind of have to say, well, it sounds okay. But if you know what this book says, then you've got all the answers. It's like having an answer key to a big test, right? This is the answer key. No matter what comes down the line, you have the answer key. You can just look and say, oh, lie. Oh, truth. Right? It's right here. But you have to know what it says. So what Paul starts with, and I don't think this is an accident that he starts with this, is because this is the basis of everything. We have to be thinking about God's word all the time. And in especially, and again, it's one of those things like, well, if I'm at school studying math, maybe I'm not thinking about God's word, right? Doesn't mean like 24/7, but in the context of when things come up in your life, when you have decisions to make, those decisions should always be based on, well, what does this book say? And then we choose the right answers. And remember, this is really important. We won't turn there, but you can put in your notes, John 8:44. Remember what Jesus said about Satan? He said that he was the father of all lies. And so Satan's been doing that from the beginning. So all this information that we're getting out from the world that isn't truth, it's coming from Satan. And his desire is to just deceive you and trick you in whatever way he can. So Paul says, focus on the truth. Think about the truth. Take an inventory of your life and say, do I know the truth? That's what this verse is saying. Okay, so let's move on, because we'll go quick, because it's small, limited to time. All right, whatever things are noble, whatever things are noble. Okay, noble can also mean honest. It can also mean honest, and the word, the Greek word, really, it's talking more about character, right? An honest, noble person. So what kind of person is honest and noble, right? What kind of person is that as we're thinking about our lives? Well, what came to my mind is someone who is not negative. That would be a noble person, someone with honorable character, someone that doesn't focus on the negative, that stays positive as much as they can. And I say this because we live in a very negative world. We live in a world that, for some reason, likes to dwell on the bad. If, you know, if there's a good and a bad, like all the attention goes to the bad, right? Our world, we seem to relish if there's someone who's famous or an athlete that you know, does something wrong and hits hard times. We kind of, as a culture, we kind of relish in that. We kind of like, we like, oh yeah, you know, they failed. Because for some reason it makes them feel better. I mean, again, think about social media. Think about online bullying, right? How quickly and easy it is for people just to go negative. And so what Paul is saying, and what matches is, remember, Jesus said we're supposed to be a light in this world. We're supposed to be an example in this world. So Paul says, take an inventory of your life. Are you someone that's noble? Are you someone that's positive? Are you someone that when people look at you, they're like, okay, that person brings happiness to the group they're in, or brings joy. That's noble in God's eyes. That's being a light in God's eyes. So that is something that we are to, again, inventory in our life. Is that the kind of person I am? Or do I think more and dwell more on the opposite side of that? All right, let's continue. It says, whatever things are just. Whatever things are just. Just can mean several things. It can mean innocent, equitable, holy, or righteous. So it can mean all those things. I think we would agree that the world is full of injustice, right? We see politicians and we see CEOs of companies who abuse their power so that they can gain more power and at the expense of the people underneath them. I mean, there's how many nations on this earth do the leaders live, you know, opulent lives and the people are struggling to stay alive? You know, we live in a world that, I was looking this up. You know, there's over 50 million people who live in slavery in our world. 50 million people live in slavery of some type in our world. That's not just, right? That's not innocent. That's not holy. And so, how can we display this in our life, right? With our thoughts and our actions, but I think especially with our words and how we treat other people. So do we treat other people in a kind way? Right? Do we treat people, or do we abuse the people in our relationships to try to push ourselves up higher? Right? That's what God is asking us as we take an inventory of our life. Of how do we treat other people? Do we treat people justly? Do we display to them what God expects of them, but in a manner that is kind and understanding and caring? You know, I think that's one of the hardest things that we have to do in our culture now, is to be able to stand up for God's way of life to people who aren't living that way of life, but do it in a way that is kind and compassionate and That's hard. I was trying to think of an example of this, and the only example that came to me is the example that Jesus, you know, of Jesus when he was here and the woman who was caught in adultery. You know, you read that story, he was very kind to her. He was very compassionate to her. But he was also very clear with her that she was sinning and that she needed to stop doing that. And so he was completely just in his actions towards her. And so I think that's a good example for us to follow as we inventory our life, and as how we, again, as if we're being a light and how we're treating other people and how we come across to other people, that's important to God. But doing it in a way that never condones evil, never condones sin, but being a light. All right, let's keep going. So that was just. So next is whatever things are pure. Whatever things are pure. Some of these words are very similar, but in this one, pure means clean, modest, or chaste. Clean, modest, or chaste. So again, pure. This is a big one because God says he wants us to only think about good things. things that fall in line with his definition of holiness and righteousness. That's what we're supposed to be putting into our minds and into our thoughts. And this is hard because this is the exact opposite of pretty much everything that we do see in this world. Most things that we see in this world, if we're watching TV, listening to music, at the movies, video games, you know, hanging out with friends, whatever it may be, driving down the road, at a billboard, a magazine, you name it, most things that we are being fed are not clean. They're not modest. They're not chaste. They're not pure. And so we have to make sure that we are making decisions and choices in life where we eliminate as much of those things, that we're never willingly and on purpose taking these things in. And so we have to be careful. You know, a story of a movie. I was kind of just amazed by this on the movie. So this was last year. It's whenever the most recent Indiana Jones movie came out. I think it was sometime last year. And so Betsy and me and the kids, we went to see it. You know, see old Harrison Ford running around with a lot of CGI, you know, in that movie. We were excited, so we went to see the movie, right? It's advertised as a family movie. It's a good movie. But so we're sitting there, and we're trying to, and the preview start. Every preview that we saw before that movie, we literally were like closing our eyes and like trying to close our ears, because every preview was for some dark, demonic, satanic horror movie. And this was before the Indiana Jones movie. That's supposed to be a family movie. And it's just horrible things. Things that it's like, I don't want to ever think about that. And then I started thinking, it's like, what kind of, if someone goes to see that movie, like when they come out of that movie, they have to just be filled with so many dark things. So many dark things. And so, with entertainment especially, we have to be very careful on what we are putting before our eyes. You know, what websites are we visiting? Again, what TV shows? What music? I'm really bad at this, and Betsy's over my life. Like, I'll hear a song and I'll love the beat. And I'm like, this is a great song. Like, I can work out to this, go to the gym, run, right, pick up the pace. And then Betsy would be like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, I don't know. It's a really cool song. It's like, do you listen to the words, like what they're talking about? And I'm like, there's words? What? But even if I'm not paying attention to them, they're going to my head. So, again, especially young people and, you know, music, be careful with the music that you listen to. Be careful. No matter what the artist, no matter what, look at those words. Do the words being spoke agree with this book? Right? And even if it's the most famous musician on the planet right now, y'all know who I'm talking about. Even if it's that person, what do the words say? What are they talking about? Okay, so we are to be focusing on pure things, not polluting our mind. Because again, God says, I don't want impure things in you. I want pure things. And again, here's the part I think as we get older, adults, everyone agrees. Once we see something, especially see something, it's very hard to get that out of our mind. Years can go by and we can still see it. Be careful what we put before our eyes. Be careful what you put in your ears. Because once it's there, it's hard to get rid of. All right, let's continue. Whatever things are lovely. Lovely, it just means friendly. Friendly or acceptable. God says, focus on things, again, that are friendly. Notice all these things are positive. These are all positive things. God says, don't be negative. You know, be friendly, be positive. What does that look like in our life? Just don't be rude, right? Moms, you probably say this to your kids a lot, right? Just don't be rude, say nice. You know, if you're going to say something, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, right? Make sure that we're not someone that people would think are rude, right? That's lovely, that's friendly. And again, our words, our thoughts, all those things, they have to be approved in God's eyes. So focus on things that are lovely, right? Take an inventory. Are you friendly? Are those the kind of things that people think of you? All right, let's move on. So whatever things are of good report. Good report. Good report means well-spoken or a good reputation. Again, well-spoken or a good reputation. Now, I was thinking about from a context of the news that we get. How much of the news do we see is well-spoken or, you know, a good reputation? I think it probably eliminates a lot of news sources because there's so much of news now that just lies as well. It's just whatever the agenda is or whoever they're trying to promote or whatever it may be. But things that we are to focus on, things that are of good, that are a good report. So as we think about this, and what does this mean in our personal lives, do the decisions that we make help or hurt our reputation? Right? Our reputation with God, obviously, what does God think of us? But obviously, the reputation with those that are around us. The decisions, the things that we put in front of us, the information that we take, again, does it help or hurt our reputation? Because again, this goes back to God, Jesus says we're supposed to be a light. And so, no matter who is around you, they're looking at you. Especially if you're vocal about being a Christian. Right? Especially if your friends know that you're a Christian. And they know that you try to follow God. Well, they're watching. They're watching to see, well, are they just saying this? Or do they really believe this? So, we are to take an inventory of our lives and say, okay, again, the things that I'm taking in, the things that I'm participating in, are they helping or hurting my reputation? And even sometimes in the church, we can focus sometimes too much on the negative. Right? One of the things that God says that we're supposed to focus on and that is very of good reputation and a good report is the coming kingdom. I mean, there's lots of things, crazy things going on in the world, but our focus shouldn't be on that. It's fine to be aware of those things. We're told to do that, but our focus must be on the kingdom. That's a very, very good thing. That should be where what we think about and focus on. So again, things that are a good report. And then finally, the last is if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy. If there is any virtue or anything praiseworthy. So we kind of lump these last two together. And they just mean anything that's excellent. Things that we can be proud of. Things that we can be proud of. Things that are excellent. Things that glorify God. I think this kind of wraps up everything because at the end, this wraps up what all the other words are about, right? If we are thinking and focusing on things that are excellent, things that we can worship God with, again, it's going to be positive things. It's not going to be negative. It's going to be things that are pleasing to Him. It's going to be things that agree with this book. It's going to be truth. We're going to do everything that we can to limit the bad things coming in, the impure things that are in this world. We're going to do things that worship God. And remember, you know, we come together on the Sabbath to worship God. And that's commanded, and we must do that. But that's not the only time during the week we worship God, right? We should be worshiping God each minute of our life with how we act and how we behave. Again, the things that we take in, asking God for help in decisions, giving God praise when He helps us. I mean, all those things. So we should be focused on this as well. We should take an inventory of our life and say, again, is this the kind of person that I am? Is this the kind of person that I am? So, there's the verse. Philippians 4, verse 8. Right, easy, right? Well, this is the interesting part. This would take a lifetime to perfect. This one verse will take all of us our entire lifetime to work on perfecting this and work to get to this point. We aren't born this way at all. We aren't born this way. We don't have these things naturally. We have to ask God to help us with this, and we grow in our faith, and we grow as Christians, and we should become more and more like this every day. But this is a lifelong journey. And to me, it's what is so amazing about so many scriptures, especially in the New Testament, and things that Jesus said about, you know, how we are to live. And they're not easy. Like, we just read them and like, okay, well, I'll go do that. No, it takes work. And we have to work at these things. And at times, we'll mess up. And we ask God for help and forgiveness, and then we start over again. But this is the mindset that we are supposed to have as Christians. Right? This is the mindset. And we know that, again, we never should knowingly do any of these things that are opposite of this. We should always be working as hard as we can. And again, sometimes it seems like that would be impossible, but we know with God's help, all things are possible. So with God's help in our life, this is who we can become. This is the mind that we can have and the thoughts that we work with. So in closing, let's go ahead and read this verse one more time. And let's read it with maybe some new context and some new understanding of what God is asking us. It says, finally, brethren, and that's all of us, right? Finally, brethren, focus on my scripture. Focus on the truth. Focus on the Bible. Focus on things that are noble, that are honest. Live a life that's just, where you're innocent and you're holy. Live your life in a way that's clean and modest. Be a friendly person. Speak well. Have a good reputation. Do things that show people that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that you're a Christian. And make sure that you're focused again on things that are excellent and that things that you do give glory to God. And take an inventory of your life and say, do I have these things in my life?